Line message, I am not able to catch, which is the chanting. I am not able to go up to the 16 round somehow. I don't, 8. It's now more than few months, I am on 8 rounds, but I hear, I get inspired, but after a day or two, I again get fall down to on my rounds. What should I do, Prabhu?
Was there a time when you were chanting 16 rounds?
It's always when I come to morning sessions in Mangala Arati, I chant 16 rounds. But not really.
And is there a reason why you can't come every day?
Maharaji, it becomes very difficult because in the morning time I have to catch for my office. So it becomes really difficult to come every day.
What about on the weekend?
Sorry,
weekend?
Yeah, weekends. I really find it difficult to come in Mangala Arati. But my counselor has advised me to come once a month in Mangala Arati at least.
So what is your question actually?
How should I increase
my
chanting?
Like confession.
How should I motivate myself to come up to 16 rounds?
Well, I think just gradually increase. Like Prabhupada's, he became Prabhupada's secretary. Like I mentioned, he was the first temple president in Bombay, Shyamasundara Prabhu. When he came to Srila Prabhupada, he was smoking. I think he was smoking a pack a day. And Prabhupada told him every day, decrease one cigarette. And then after, I don't know how many there are in a pack, but after 20 days, he was finished. He gave it up. So, you know, if you really want this, you can add one round every week, you know, whatever you can do. I met someone who had heard a lecture by a motivational speaker, not a devotee, but a motivational speaker. And he said that if something is really important enough to you, if you really want to do it, then sleep less. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada would say. You know, but we're not going to suggest that. But I think if you add one round a week, in 8 weeks you'll be up to 16.
I will try, Maharaj.
Yeah. Even, like, if you... Anyway, there are details. But I'm sure if you really have that desire in your heart, Krishna will give you the intelligence and you'll know how to work out the details.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else would like to ask? Anybody else? Any of you want to ask in the mic?
Hare Krishna. Actually, I have a little bit question which is a little bit abstract. Actually, once I went to the church and I was contemplating of changing my faith from Hinduism to Christianity so that I can manage some bucks, earn some quick money. But I went inside and I attended the mass. The music was so much morose that I felt that if I stay here for more than hour or so, I will really get bored of. So my question is that, is it easy, is it easy to change the one's faith in which he is born with? What are the sort of impediments a person has to face when he has to change from one faith, like from Christianity to Hinduism or maybe to ISKCON? Can you give a light on that? What sort of struggle one has to go through?
Well, I don't think that your question is, the way you phrased it is the way I'm going to answer. Because Krishna consciousness is not a faith. Like you can change, you know, from Hindu to Christian or Christian to Muslim. Krishna consciousness is the constitutional position of the living entity. It's the original consciousness of the living entity. And therefore we say, you can remain Hindu or Christian or Muslim, but add this, and you'll become a better Hindu or Christian or Muslim. Because the goal of every bona fide religion is to develop love for God. And this will help you to develop love for God. So this is not a question of changing your label. That I take off the Hindu label and I put on the Christian label. But this is coming to your original consciousness. So, if you want to convert from Hindu to Christian, we don't mind, as long as you're Krishna conscious. But generally, being a Hindu, not a Mayavadi, but, the culture is more supportive of Krishna consciousness. But I don't see any gain from changing the label. You know, you're born Hindu, you're raised Hindu, you're used to it. So I would say just add Krishna consciousness. As far as the bucks, that's not, my field of expertise. My experience is, if you surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna, Krishna takes care. Just today I heard a story. Of course, it's a different story, but there is a devotee at IIT, I think in Powai, who he was like teaching at IIT. And as I heard the story, he was offered 1 crore of rupees by Google if he would do a certain job for them. And he declined. Then he was offered, I don't know, 33 lakhs, some other big organization to do a job for them. I think he was inclined to accept it. But then IIT said that, you know, you finished your studies here, you have to leave. And he said, but I'm not going to leave because I've been given an offer of professorship, and I forget what the pay is, but not that much. And so he gave up all of these lucrative financial offers to teach at IIT. So someone asked him, why did you make that decision? I think maybe he gets 10,000 a month, but they do give him accommodations, and nobody can understand, why did you do that? Who will give up a crore of rupees to get a job of 10,000 rupees a month? Then he said to that devotee, do you know the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita? And then the conclusion is that those who preach the message of Krishna are Krishna's dearmost devotees. So he said that if I take up a job for Google or any big company, I won't have the opportunity to preach. But if I stay at IIT, I can preach to like some of the best people in India. And 10,000 plus, they give me a housing and whatever, maybe a car. It's enough. It's enough for me to live. So everything is a matter of desire and priority. And that was his priority. So each of us sort of has to decide for ourselves how much important is Krishna consciousness to us. But if we give Krishna consciousness lesser importance, we should be prepared to face the consequences, which could be repeated birth and death, old age, disease. So by my calculation, Krishna consciousness is the best investment of my time and energy. After I joined, my father was a wealthy person, and he offered me, on three different occasions in different ways, he offered me $1 million, which back then was like $50 million maybe. He didn't even say leave Krishna consciousness, but just come home. And I refused because I felt that what I was getting in Krishna consciousness was much more valuable. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he was seeking a kingdom, but when he actually saw the Lord, and the Lord asked him to accept some benediction, he didn't want any benediction. And the Lord said, but what about your kingdom? You came to the forest and performed austerities to get your kingdom. Now what about your kingdom? And Dhruva replied, Swamin kritartho smi varam nayache. That kingdom was like a piece of broken glass. And getting you is like the most valuable, precious jewel. So I'm millions of times satisfied. I'm fully satisfied, and I do not want any boon from you. So that's any rich person, if you ask him, are you satisfied? He's not satisfied. John Paul Getty at one time was the richest man in the world. And a reporter asked him, can you give us your philosophy of life in one word? He said, yes, you want my philosophy of life in one word? Yes, I can give it. More. More. M-O-R-E. That was his philosophy of life. Which means he was never satisfied. He always wanted more. It means in a way he was poor. He was a beggar. Because he was always... And Dhruva Maharaj, Swamin Kritartho Smi Varam Niyache, I'm fully satisfied. I don't want anything more than you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else wants to ask Maharaj? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for giving class. Maharaj, many times we hear philosophy very deep, thorough, very attentively. We develop that attraction, we develop that love. But in the period of time, means once we separate from that association, and because of lack of anarthas, we are not so determined to surrender that. But in your time, in most of the youth, in spirit, one or two moments of incident, they surrender. But in our case, we are here since long, 3-4 years back. Still, we are not able to deliver. Means we are not commit that much what we are expect. Our authority is expecting from us. We are lacking our determination. What we supposed to do in that?
Well, you sort of gave the answer yourself, that it's a matter of association, that like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, how can one become sincere? And Srila Prabhupada replied, by associating with sincere devotees. So you have to, it's very hard to change your desires by yourself, but you can change your desires by association. So that's the best process. Hare Krishna.
Did I sign your book? Hare Krishna, anyone else?
I think I should take a few minutes to sign, because they're waiting.
Yeah. Anybody has a book to be signed by Maharaj? You got it signed? Anybody else has a book with you to be signed by Maharaj?
Any a book or a pen?
Anybody else has a question for Maharaj? I need to hear you. Is that a Maharaj ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Please, all of you join for the morning program in the Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple tomorrow morning, 8:30. Of course, you can join for Mangala Arati if you wish.
Before you lunch or after lunch? Because after lunch you will go to Nehru. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So we request devotees to kindly honor prasadam. If they haven't, the counters are going to wind up soon. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, as we practice Krishna consciousness, over the years, like there are, you know, many times temptations come by, and we have to make the right choices. So how do we remain stable in following the principles like we learn here? How do we do that, Maharaj?
Well, we are weak, and we do not have the strength on our own to resist Maya. So we need help, and that help will come from Krishna in any number of manifestations. One is the devotees, taking shelter of the devotees. In fact, that's when Lord Chaitanya described the seed of devotional service, Bhakti Lata Beach. So he said we have to do two things. One is, while we're watering the seed, material desires may sprout up, which are compared to weeds. So we have to be very careful that as soon as we see a weed sprout up, which means a material desire, we have to take it out. Like the Bhagavad Gita says, we have to control the lower self with the higher self. Yeah, the mind will always go here and there, but we have to control the mind with the intelligence. But that can also, that resistance can also be achieved by developing the higher taste. You know, and you can develop the higher taste again in the association of devotees. But the, you know, if you're very clear about the consequences, then, you know, you won't be tempted. Yeah. What are the consequences of not following? Do you know? What would be the consequences? Yeah. And in this life also you'll suffer. That's you don't have to wait for the next life to suffer. You can, it'll come before then. So that's why, like, if you know that some food looks very tasty, but if you know it's going to make you sick, then you think it's not worth it. For a moment or two of that pleasure of eating that rich food, then I have to suffer so much. And not only suffer, but it will affect my other activities. So it's not worth it. We always make those decisions. Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that how can someone overcome these desires, like sex desire? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that on a fasting day, you decide that you're not going to eat. It doesn't mean you won't be hungry. It doesn't mean you won't have craving for food. But you've just decided you're not going to eat that day. So you don't eat. He says, similarly, if we decide we're not going to have sex or illicit sex, it doesn't mean the desire won't be there, but it means we've made a decision we're not going to do that. And we just don't do it. But still, supportive association, sangat sanjayate kama, desires develop through association. So if you associate with devotees who have a higher taste, that will help you to experience the higher taste. Just after leaving the Juhu temple to drive to Pune. We came to an intersection where there was a long red light. The car had to wait a long time, and it's like an intersection where a lot of beggars come because they know the cars get stuck there. So it's my habit, you could say, not my practice, that I always carry a box of sweets, Mahaprasad, and then when the beggars come, I give them a sweet. So it began with two beggars, so I gave each one a pera. Then the next thing I knew, there were five beggars. Okay, I gave them each a pair, and then the next thing I knew, there were like 12 beggars. I don't even know where they came from. And then one of the devotees in the car mentioned that Vaisheshika Prabhu had given an example that just like if you feed one beggar, then so many more will come. So Vaisheshika Prabhu said in the same way, if you give in to one anartha, then so many other anarthas will come. And then you have to like give in to them. They'll demand that you give in to them. So it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's, of course, giving prasad to beggars, it's the analogy that if you give in to one material desire, it won't satisfy the desire. That same desire will come back and ask for more, and other desires will also come. It's just not worth it. I think reading is important. That the reading, hearing, reading, strengthens your intelligence. That's what you need to make your intelligence stronger, so that it can keep control of your mind and senses.
And Maharaj, many times what happens is, like there's a choice in life that, you know, you do this or that, but one thing will not be Krishna conscious. So, you know, like when you think of the consequences, they're quite scary. Like, you know, I go and do something wrong, I break some regulative principle, then, you know, there's a big list of what all bad things can happen to me. But at the same time, like, I don't have the higher taste. So it's like, you know, I'm stuck in between and it's quite frustrating.
There's a process for developing the higher taste. But it may take time. And therefore, one of the six items required for success, according to Rupa Goswami, is patience. You have to be patient. And again, it's the mind, the crooked mind, saying, you've been doing this and you haven't really gotten any happiness. So, try Maya. You'll get happiness there. It's the mind. It's just, it is Maya. It is Maya. So, yeah. You have to be patient and pray for mercy. Are you praying? Are you praying for mercy? Yeah. You have to pray all the time. Every moment you have to be praying not to fall down and to do the right thing. Every moment. Okay. Are you sincere?
I would like to be sincere. So you can pray that I become sincere.
All right, I'll pray for you to become sincere. Hare Krishna. She's asking, how did Krishna come? And is he always here? Which is a very good question. So the answer is that he is always here. But we cannot see him. So when we say that Krishna came, what we mean is that he allowed himself to be seen by everyone, but he's always here. You understand? It's like, I mean, it's a, like a, an example, but say I'm in the room. So I'm here, but no one can see me. But when I come out of the room, everyone can see me. So you could say that I came, but I was also always here, but you just couldn't see me. Is that okay? Does that answer your question? Almost. So Krishna, that was an example, but I'm like limited and Krishna's unlimited. So the example isn't completely the same. And it's different in the sense that Krishna's here everywhere. And he's also in his abode, Goloka Vrindavan. You've heard of Goloka Vrindavan? So when we say Krishna appears, it means that he comes down from Goloka Vrindavan and he pretends to take birth from Devaki and Vasudeva. And for 125 years, everyone can see him. And then at the end, he disappears. And then, but he's still here, he's always here, but only people who have the eyes to see him can see him. But for that period of 125 years, anyone can see him, whether they're qualified by love for him or not. Huh? Still not complete.
How was he? From how many days was he here?
How many years was he here? Days?
How did he appear?
Oh, how? Okay. This is a very good question. How did he appear? Now, because Krishna is completely pure, he will only want to appear in a place that's completely pure. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes that Krishna's father, Vasudev, his mind was completely pure. That completely pure means Shuddha Sattva or Vasudev. Sometimes that state is called Vasudev. So Krishna first appeared in the mind of Vasudev. Then Vasudev transferred Krishna to the pure mind of Devaki. And then Devaki appeared to be pregnant. And then Krishna manifest himself. Now this question, how, can only be answered to an extent. Srila Prabhupada said that we can answer who, what, where, why. But you cannot answer how. If I ask you, how does your hair grow? Can you answer? No, we can't answer. No one can answer. So, but we can say, you know, he entered the pure mind of Vasudeva, and then from the pure mind of Vasudeva, he was transferred to the pure mind of Devaki. But when he came out, when he appeared, he was like a full adult, you know, like with four arms and Vishnu. And out of their parental affection, out of their love for him, feeling they're his parents, they felt that if Kamsa sees him in that form, then Kamsa will want to kill him. So then he converted himself into the form of a baby, and then Vasudeva somehow got out of the prison and took him across the Yamuna and left him in Gokul with Mother Yashoda. And he took, because Mother Yashoda had also just given birth to a baby, so he took her baby back to the prison in Mathura. So, more. You want more. I know that. You're greedy for Krishna, so you want more. Well, that's... And if you think of more, she seems to be very thoughtful. Well, I might see you tomorrow, so... First ask your parents, and if only if it's like a very difficult one that they can't answer to your satisfaction, you can ask one of the senior devotees. Is that okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.